chief in. 744, 3 April 2011.
You there, Bobby?
Yeah.
This is Bill and Lisa.
This who?
Bill and Lisa.
Oh. Was that you thumping around? That was the dog? I heard a dog bark a minute ago. Was that yours?
Yeah, it was one of ours.
Oh, my goodness. Did Lisa tell you that most of us around here are dog crazy?
So are we.
Oh, yeah. There's half
a little tiny small one, a great big German Shepherd, and all kinds of stuff. So.
Well, I've had I don't know how many. As a matter of fact, I can't remember when I didn't have a dog.
I can't either. We didn't know exactly what the procedures are tonight, so we just called
in. Dial in and listen. Tonight we teach. You don't have to do anything but listen, unless you got a question. Hello.
Oh, hold on a second. Shilone in, and it's April 3rd, 2011.
Okay. Bill and Lisa are in.
Well, hey, guys.
What's going on, Shai?
Hello.
I was thinking about you and didn't know if you were going to pop in or not.
Surprise!
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you aboard, really.
Quit that.
Was anybody else in when you came in, Bill?
No, I think you were the. I think we were here and you popped in and that's it.
Yeah. Was there music playing when you came in?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the clue that nobody else is in yet.
I thought we were watching Charlie Brown cartoon.
He didn't have the number for last week. That's why he wasn't in.
Oh, okay.
So I gave it to him again, or for the first time. I know he doesn't have his ready access to the internet.
I think the
Hello.
Oh. Hello again.
Diane here.
The Creek, Shilone, Bill, and Lisa.
I told everybody the story, but I'd sure like for you guys to tell it a little bit if you fill up to it when we get everybody in.
Okay. Hey, Bobby.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to meet Chet Atkins?
Oh, I knew Chet real well, huh?
Really? I got to... I met a guy on Facebook that knew him.
Yep. You'll never guess when I met Chet Atkins. When he was playing lead guitar for the Carter family. That's when he went to Nashville.
His name is John Paul Hoop, or Hoppe, H-O-P-P-E. Ring a bell?
Mm-mm. Not all him.
That rings a bell to me. Is he a new friend or something?
He's a new, believe it or not, stiff friend. We were comparing notes on what we had in the way of collections for Hank Garland. He said he had velvet, so no, it's not really velvet guitar. Jazz Wings, that's one of the best one out of that collection. And he gave me his email address so we could, you know, chat a bit more, because he hates Facebook.
Hello?
Mark.
Oh.
Hey, Kitty. It's Bobby, Shilon, Patrick, Diane, Bill and Lisa, and you.
And Pete.
And Pete.
And Pete. Okay.
Yeah. Little study group tonight. So.
All right. Well, trade one for another. I don't think I know Bill and Lisa.
Lisa's an old friend. You've heard of...
She's not old.
you can say
at my age, I can say that. Anyhow, we put together a business plan that was unheard of at the time, and Lisa was our financial representative doing the link data for us and what have you.
Is this the business plan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, we met way back in the days of MP3.jackass, where they all knew so much. Oh, Lisa, do you remember Tom Florian that was there with MP3? At that time, he was out of Kentucky. That was...
It's not ringing a bell.
Well, he was the one that tried to get them to pay attention to what we were saying. And, because they had an opportunity to do more for music than anyone has had before or since. And he was the one trying to get them to pay attention that they didn't know what the hell they were doing in the industry. All they had were beer joint baritone delusions. So he was not too popular with them. And then, of course, when they jumped into it, they found out the hard way that Tom Florida knew what he was talking about, and so did we. But he checked in. He's down in West Virginia now. Hello.
Oh.
Yeah, Gerald's in.
Ah, how you
hey,
doing?
Gerald.
Yeah, I didn't have the number last week, but I'm in this week, Gerald.
Gerald, when you have some time, why don't you call me up and let me review that with you? Because it's some good information.
It's scary as hell. I don't want to do that, but I will.
Well, we've got a couple of Nuke people in tonight, Lisa and Bill, and they're joining us for the second time.
Welcome.
And Bill and Lisa, it's Gerald in Arizona. Patrick is in Albuquerque. Kitty is in Dallas. And just so you get a handle of who's who and where they are.
Where are they at?
Oklahoma.
Oh.
How long have you been in Oklahoma, Lisa?
I've been here originally in 2004 and moved back to Texas, came back last year. Wait a minute. I've been here about 2 years this time.
Hmm. Well, I took about 3 or 4 trips to Oklahoma in my last job. 3 to Tulsa and 1 to Oklahoma City.
We probably need to mute our phone because of Roxy barking.
Does that bother anybody? Is everybody okay with the dogs making noise?
Yeah, it's all right. They won't bother anything.
You're lucky mine are quiet right now.
Yeah, Kitty has 3. I've got 2. Diane has 3. Shilone has 1. There's hounds all over this organization. Hello, somebody came in.
Buck, Ernie here.
Oh, hi, Ernie. I think Ernie has a cat. I don't think he has a dog.
I have a cat.
We got one of those, too.
One.
Yeah.
And I hear it talks to you, huh?
Yeah, Shilone has 1, Diane has 3, Kitty has what, 4 now, Kitty?
Shilone has 2 cats, Bobby.
Shilone has 2 and I have 5.
You have us beat.
Yeah, 3 dogs and 5 cats, I've got my limit. You know, I was raised on the principle of there's always room for one more.
Yes, ma'am.
That was my mother's motto, and boy, you know, I must have the hobo mark on my house for all animals that need something to eat and a place to sleep.
Yeah.
Bill has the calming factor with wild animals.
That's a good one, too.
Well, I was raised on 300 acres in a little town called Meeker, Oklahoma. And we had everything from cougars to bears to snakes. You named it, we had it. So.
Yeah, I was raised in West Virginia in whatever territory there was available. And it was occupied by everything but an alligator on Thursday and an ape on Sunday.
Yeah, well, okay.
Do you still have horny toads up there?
Oh, yeah.
They disappeared from Texas.
Yeah, well, they started to from here, but they tend to make a comeback. We lost most of our what we call mountain boomers, which are lizards.
Yeah.
We've lost most of those, but I hear they're back down in Texas now, so they may be coming back.
I hope so. 'Cause I used to chase horny toads when I was a kid. We lived out in West Texas.
Yeah, we did it too.
We chased those. They were so much fun. But then they just disappeared.
Yep. It's almost like they just migrated away.
Mark.
Mark, Coco's in, and I'm going on mute, so I won't have any static. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I wonder where Rosie and Dave are.
What about Eric? Hadn't heard from him all week. Where's he at?
He's buried under work. God, they...
Oh.
They took his job and gave it a job so they could give it a job and then handed it to him.
Damn. Well, if anybody can unbury it, it'll be Eric.
Oh, yeah. He'll... He'll handle it.
Hey, Kitty, how's your ankle doing?
Well, it's a lot better. I've kicked that shithead out of my house and changed the locks. And, I still can't put any weight on it. I've got another round of x-rays coming April 22nd. So we'll see how it goes from there. I don't have full range of motion. I'm wondering if it's going to come back. I'm going to get full range of motion back.
Oh, hell no, that ain't going to happen.
Not even close?
No, if you get something that you can live with, you'll be damn lucky.
I think I can live with it like it is if I could just put some weight on it, but they said no weight on it for another month last time I went. The small, I don't know which, can't even remember which one's tibia and which one's fibula, but the little one had two screws in it, and that one's healed. The other bone, the big bone that broke in two places, has a plate and eight pins, and six of the pins are short, but two of them go all the way to the other bone, across the leg, and those are the two pins that aren't healed yet.
Yeah, the fibia is the smaller of the bones.
Okay.
And being a ex-bull rider and all kinds of other stuff, I've got more plates and pins and broken bones in my body than I can count. You need to start using ice and heat alternately.
Okay.
To try and loosen up the tendons and muscles that are around it.
All right.
Just tell the range of motion is the hardest part to get back.
It is. Yes. I just went through 4 months of rehab on shoulder surgery. I ripped the bicep muscle completely away from the bone and had a front and rear rotator cuff tear. And that was the single most... I've never been through anything like that in my life. It was terrible.
Well, this
but
is
I'm
my...
50% back now, so.
Yeah. Well, I've had a broken neck, and it didn't bother me as bad as this ankle does. Because at least after a couple of months, I could at least get up and move around. I couldn't lift anything. And I walked around for 8 months in a collar. But I was 20 years old and, you know, able to get over it.
Yeah, that's the key right there.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I think I've lost about a third of my calf muscle to atrophy.
Hello.
Rosie.
Hi, dear.
Hi.
Hello.
I had a hard time signing in.
Hello.
Denny here.
Oh, hi, Denny. Well, it's about 5 after. We need to get started on it. And our lesson tonight is going to be a rehearsal in discerning of spirits. The way you've got to do it and practice it if you're ever going to find out how a spirit entity can be identified. The secret, of course, as always, is to let the energy tell you, not the other way around. But whenever you have any kind of a spirit communication, I don't give a damn who it says it's from. You discern each and every communication, or you are going to get creamed. Now, if those of you that have read the AED, you're familiar with the disaster that Dave Lewis did when he had a couple of entities, Dion and Duron, that he was supposedly communicating with, and got a lot of very misinformation, to the point that he was writing letters to this one and to that one, jackass in his complacency, and got a couple of pages of a letter that was intended for one that got sent to the other one. Jim Little, the issues in the AED. And it so screwed things up. That and the fact that he wasn't discerning who the hell he was talking to with the information that he did get, that it ultimately cost Jim Little his life. Now, anybody that wants to play in that silly game can go in front of the old man with that blood on their hands if they want to. Now, I got Dave out of that one, and then he jackassed and went back at it again. What had happened the second time, which I can get you out the first one, but not the second one, I shut down all spirit communications, and I'm about ready to do it again. I got some jackasses happening again. Carbon copy of Dave Lewis's. No discernment is the big problem. Anyhow, Dave was sending some money to Rich, the kid that he was trying to adopt later, that I was training for to replace me, really. That was Burkhart was his name, Rich Burkhart, that was in Germany. Dave was sending him some money so they could stockpile and everything and buy the rest of the tickets and what have you in Germany to go to Egypt. Because it's a hell of a lot cheaper there. So what Dave did was exactly what I told him not to do again. He asked how you could send safe money, and I said ordinary cashier checks are fine. And he wanted to know how he could keep someone from knowing that he was sending money. And I said, well, the best way is just take them, put them in an envelope, put a couple of sheets of paper around them, and just pay for a heavy letter and send it by airmail. Be done with it. And he wheedled around a little bit and wondered how we'd handled things in security and the military. Well, you seal it up properly. You put it in an envelope, then you glue the corners of the envelopes to make sure they're airtight. Then you address it and everything else but the postage, and you put that in another envelope and do the same damn thing again. Now, that'll handle most copy, but if you got stuff that you don't want x-rayed where someone could then x-ray a page and decipher the information on it, we used to wrap it in a thin sheet of aluminum, the interior. Then put it in the envelope, seal it up, put that envelope in the second envelope. Well, Dave wrapped this stuff in an envelope, and needless to say, they were starting to scan stuff, and it triggered. Well, what they did was hold this thing to see what the hell was in it, because it raised the very eyebrows that I told him not to involve. He did exactly what I told him not to do. If he hadn't put that aluminum in it, they'd have never caught it. It would have went through just like any other piece of paper mail. Well, when they slowed this thing up, and it's going to take a while now, it's got to be hand processed, the money hadn't shown up in Germany, so it came up missing. Dave, of course, goes off the deep end and raises hell with the post office and everything because of the several hundred dollars involved in cashier checks. I don't know, maybe a couple of thousand. And because the post office, of course, only handles a few million pieces of mail a month going overseas out of the New York port, Dave goes off on the deep end and gets the FBI involved. In other words, don't involve anybody else's mind. Only include everybody this side of Andromeda. But that wasn't the worst of it. Then he went to discerning spirits again, or talking with them, and he was telling the FBI all this inaccurate information as to where that money was. Except he was 1,000% wrong. It was still in the post office department going through hand canceling. And he had now a false police report, and I hit the ceiling. And I must have called him every goddamn name that I could think of, and believe me, I can think of a lot of them. I said, you stupid son of a bitch, don't you understand that when you're giving a false police report to the FBI, that is a felony? And if they drag you into court, they're going to ask you where you got this information, and you tell them you got it from a Dion and a Duron, a couple of angels that you're associated with, they're going to put you in a padded room so goddamn thick that an earthquake wouldn't get through it. Well, he managed to back his way out of that one, but I couldn't bail him out of that, and the Most High eventually killed him for it. Now, we've got exactly the same kind of horseshit happening again. You're not paying attention to what I tell you. I don't talk in theories. I talk in hard, concrete facts. Something works a given way, it's because it works that way. Now, if you want to be stupid and get deluded, that's perfectly all right with me, but I can only get you out once. Some of you, I've already got you out once. Now, when it comes to spirit communications, there's my notes online. You can go back through it, an hour and a half or so, of exactly how to pull up a spirit, discern it, whatever it is. But you've got to practice, you've got to read it, and you've got to know what in the hell you're talking about. And if you think you can just do it on your own or some hallelujah half-wit hangover thing that you picked up in some stupid-ass church somewhere, I've got news for you. That's what won't work. They talk a lot about spirit, and the moment you tell them you've seen a ghost, they want you handed over to the Gestapo to be put in a loony bin. Well, they can't have it both ways. But we deal in such things, and ours are very real. But we are very vulnerable, just like everybody else is, if we don't pay attention and discern. I don't give a good rat's ass if you're talking to your favorite grandmother and you can tell her voice 5 million miles away. Every time you talk to her, you discern it again. And you give it a test that only she would know. Don't trust anything. Make sure that it's something only that person would know. Or, if they're so high and mighty and out there, give them the option of telling you what the headlines in a given newspaper will be tomorrow. And then set on that information before you let it out anywhere until that headline comes out. If it comes out accurate, you've discerned it, pay attention. If it comes out one comma out of the way, you got a jackass. Now, when you're discerning spirits, and there's no real difference in the process of discerning a demon, a Nephilim, a human, an angel, and it doesn't matter whether the Nephilim or human are dead or alive, whether they have an incarnated body or not. If you practice them like the instruction shows you, you can discern them. You will know whether they are dead or alive. You will know whether they are a Nephilim or a demon or an angel or just a spook out there playing stupid games. There is no excuse for not knowing. You are required to know, because that is part of who we are and what we are. And you can't do it haphazard. You've got to do it at 11 on the Richter scale intensity. And when you get that much intensity, paying attention to what the hell you're doing, you'll be surprised how quick you get good at it. Now, we're getting spirit communications that are totally and irrevocably inaccurate. One, because they're not discerning. You're not taking the time to find out who the hell you're talking to. Now, the fact that I have a troop that will protect you from every demon, bad energy, whatever, of its own. But if you bring it in, there's nothing we can do about it. And we're not going to try. So when you're doing spirit communications, you do them the same way that we do with hand link-ups. And hand link-up communications, as those who've been in a circle knows, it can be an awesome experience. You can even get sparks and stuff off each other's hands if you're PKs and in the right spiritual order when you do it. But now, the next thing is the fact that of the spirit communications, those that will trick you, if you are stupid enough not to discern them, will tell you anything. They will pretend to be anybody. I have no idea who sucked Dave in. I do know who didn't. He did have some limited communications in the process of trying to contact some ascended masters. That's the ones that have been incarnated. He did have some communications with Dion to start with. Then Duron came along later. But they no sooner got into trying to communicate with him than Dave was taking every goddamn spiritual word he could come up with, and 99% of it was out of his own mind. He was talking to himself, telling himself what he wanted to hear. That's the biggest crap. That's also why you discern. You can't find anybody, then guess who it was? It wasn't anybody. It was you. That is a very, very dangerous crap. That's what Dave fell into. Gave Jim Little some misinformation. Jim Little tried to follow it, and Jim Little died. I do not want any of you to make that same mistake again. There's no excuse for it then. There's no excuse for it now. And if I get any more reports, and I don't give a damn who, where from, and everything, because I've got a couple of three of them that's on the line about it, I get any reports of misinformation from this spirit communication, and I'm going to shut its ass down again, and it's going to stay down till Shiloh. I've had it right to the eyebrows with it. There are too many people to get hurt and too many souls to be lost with this goddamn stupidity of not discerning and thinking you're communicating with somebody when all you're doing is telling yourself what you want to hear. Now, some of you have heard us talk about Sue McFetridge. She's the mother of Joe and Amanda. Joe is the one that I was in a revenge fight over when I got all my teeth and everything knocked loose and was bruised up for 2 or 3 weeks. That was a hell of a fight. That one was a good one. Well, Sue got into that bit by doing exactly what I said not to do. And she walked around for 4 or 5 years talking to herself. She was going to marry God, if you can imagine that. Well, of course, she got on meth, and I don't know where the poor soul is now. I don't even know if she's alive. But that's what happens when the mighty falls. Are there any questions? Okay, I'll take that as an answer that's taken care of. Now, there's one way that you can get around all of this spirit communication, because there is a chain of command. An angel is not going to run you down and start talking to you. That is not going to happen. You're going to have to call that angel up and talk to them. The Most High is not going to send somebody to you out of the friggin' blue as long as I'm alive. There is a chain of command. Read it. It's in His own words. It's in the AED. It's in holy law. Anyone that thinks they're getting in the chain of command, leaving the Akurian rank and file and the staff out of it, is full of it. You're talking to yourself. The Most High doesn't talk to anybody until He talks to me. The only thing He gives you is a knowledge of a sufficient or insufficient at the proof of the anointing. He does not sit there and carry on a conversation with you. He doesn't carry them on with me for the hell of it. Sometimes I get them in front of the veil. Sometimes I get them from thunder. Sometimes I just get them. He'll send me a messenger now and then, but He will send me a messenger if He's got a message for you. Don't let anyone deceive you. No one. And for Christ's sake, don't deceive yourself. It's so easy to do. And we've lost some good people because of it. Tragic losses that we did not need. Totally inexcusable. See, I didn't just lose James Little. I lost the chief of staff. Dave Lewis, when he died, was a four-star general. He was the highest ranking officer in the corps at that time, except for me. Didn't help things a bit. He's just as gone, and he's just as dead. And the penalty that he got, I wouldn't want on anybody. Sounds great when you first hear about it, but it ain't so great, really. Because he did his best for the time that he had left to make up for the damage and the disaster. He got to go receive the animals when they die. Pets, etc., including the slaughterhouse, chickens, pigs, ducks, cows, horses, whatever. He has to go retrieve and single out and redirect every one of those conscious entities. I wouldn't wish that even on Dave Lewis with his stupidity intact. Now, with respect to discerning of spirits and the chain of command, are there any questions? Okay. If you've got these problems, you don't want to bring them out here, that's perfectly all right. Call me offline, and I'll walk you through it. Because I know there's a lot of it people just do not understand. And most of it simply because we are programmed not to understand it. Everything that we look at over the ages is always to the counter of this kind of information. Okay, now. Yes.
Okay. What you're talking about is simple verification, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to verify that.
Yes. A discernment of a spirit, if you read it right, one, is not only verifying who the hell you're talking to. That's the first thing. That's what the bottom line is. But right. You can read them, and you can determine whether it's a living or dead human, an extraterrestrial, a Nephilim. We did it. You can take each one and you can tell. But now, you take this entity and you can call them up. We'll run through that drill a little bit. You can call up any entity you want, dead or alive. And the Akurians that are either under our protection or authority, if you want to call it that, while they're training, or those that have holy seals of their own, can call them right out of hell. And they have to come, and they won't necessarily be truthful. They'll tell you anything that they think you'll buy to get them out of hell for a minute. But that does not change the fact that you can get the truth out of them. Because when you pull them up, you don't necessarily ask them any questions. You read them. When you read them, it's like knowing whether you're standing out in the rain or standing out in the sun. What's it take, an 11 on a Richter scale, to make that difference? If you let the energy tell you, they can't fool you. And you stay in charge of the game. They never take command or charge. I don't give a damn who they claim they are. Metatron is the chief of all the angels this side of the veil that's still in front of the old man. He will not try to take charge of a conversation if you ever get him to talk to you at all.
Right.
That will not happen. Now, you get someone posing as Metatron, and I'm afraid that that's going to be in there. They'll sneak it in slow, and they'll give you little bits and tidbits and what have you. They'll give you a 99% truth on this one, a 95 on the next one, until they have your crust up. And then suddenly they're giving you information that is pure bogus. And especially when you call them to communicate. Even if you call them, discern them. When we do our invocations, we send straight commands to that given entity. We don't require discernment simply because we're not talking to anybody else. And nobody else can do the jobs that we call these people to do. But if we took one of them, let's just say Gabriel, and you wanted to have Gabriel help teach you something, he'll do that. Of course, it may be one of his people that does it in his name. You won't know the difference unless you discern it. And you'll find that here is a fully qualified instructor, a member or subordinate of Gabriel direct on those orders, giving you the instructions and the lessons that you need.
Right.
They're all there. It's easy to do. But you have to discern them. But none of the angels, none, from the top of the command to the bottom, are going to run you down for anything without backing up what they say. That's the first thing. They're going to back it up. And you're not going to get more than probably five of those, if that, in 5,000 years. And even then, it will be connected, like it was with Mary, for instance. But what most people don't know is that even though Mary was still in school, she was a little brighter than the average bear, and she was studying at the temple, that's where the schools were,
mm-hmm.
when this wing ding happened, because you studied at the synagogue for a while, and then at certain times you went to the temple for testing and instruction and what have you. And she, of course, happened to be at the temple in Jerusalem, in her own quarters, when Gabriel came, because she was asking to be a righteous and true wife to someone. She didn't know who she was. She wasn't pointed out and, you know, and agreed to marry like some of the families did when the kids are 2 and 3 years old. They make those marriage arrangements then. She didn't have that. Her family hadn't done that for whatever reason. So the only thing she wanted, of course, was to be a true and righteous wife, because Judah was in a hell of a turmoil. The priesthood was corrupt from top to bottom. The Romans were overrunning the place. It was a real hairy situation in Israel at the time. And that's when she was singled out and told, because she was in such grief about it. And it followed on the heels of her cousin Elizabeth, whose husband was a priest, and he was asked why he had put no seed in Israel, and they told him not to come back to the damn temple till he did. And of course he didn't quite buy it, so he was struck dumb until the baby was born, and they wanted to name him after him, and his wife said no, he's got to be called John. And then he had to take a scratch pad and said his name is John, or Yanni actually, that became John the Baptist. And then suddenly he could talk again. So you do have a few situations like that, but there's nothing parallel to those, to that incident anywhere else in recorded history. It's the only time anything like that happened directly. The closest next one was when Yahweh's people were taking a big toll on what was going on in the five cities of the plain, which was much a military excursion for intelligence as anything else. And Abraham happened to see them and invited them to in out of the heat of the day, got some water and washed their feet, which was a big tradition then, still is, and had them fed, and was talking to them. He wanted Ishmael to be his heir. And the angel that was there, the Nephilim actually, told him, nope, you'll have a child of your own out of Sarah, out of your correct wife, the white wife. That gets into some real hairy situations. And that's about the only time that that ever happened in recorded history. So they're not out there waiting in line for tickets to get on the next plane. It's a very, very rare situation. And even then, you had to discern it. No question about it. They were discerned, found out to be true, then they were followed. But until then, uh-uh. No. So there is a chain of command, there is a way to discern spirits, and there is such a thing as spirit communication. Spirit communication is the easiest thing to do. It's so easy to do, there's only one thing easier, and that's being deceived by it. You can't let yourself be deceived, because they will have you running in the goddamnedest circles that you've ever seen in your life. I know, I've seen hundreds of them over the years. Now, the process to discern a spirit. Let's first take the time and just call up a spirit. Now, what I want you to do first, before I even tell you how to move or what to do, and don't jump the gun on me. Those of you that's had the training, you just hold yourself for a minute. So if we can do this in unison, it'll work better for the neophytes. If you take your hands and you put them palm to palm about a foot apart right at your solar plexus, in about 1 minute or less, you'll feel the palms of your hands get warm. Well, what you've done is drawn out some of your own spirit energy. That's you. That's what you feel like. That's how we make belly balls. And after a while, you can project a belly ball without using your hands at all. But that's the first thing. And that spirit energy, you can feel it right in the palm of your hands. You can pull it out, mold it, do whatever you want to. We usually leave it connected on a silver cord until we're told to release them, because we can charge them. And that's what we do in these elevated invocations that we do when we're up and down the planes of heaven and what have you. The chanters make a belly ball. The invokers make a belly ball. And when we get through, we put them all together and merge them into one. Sometimes we make four of them, one for each of the four winds and whatever that we're going to be using. Then we merge them, invoke hell out of them, fill them up with everything that we want, then bring them down, and then everybody merges them into one big ball. And that one has more firepower to it than all the hallelujah half-wit preachers put together. But that's how you do it. Now, to call up a spirit, and I want everybody to think of a relative that at the moment is deceased. I would like for you to think of one that's been dead for at least 10 years, but somebody that you know, that you would recognize. Now, that's who you're going to call up when I tell you how. You put your hands, palms apart, the same way, and you put them out from you. In other words, you want them out, your hands out about a foot or more, to get it out of your own aura. That's what you're doing. And you call this spirit in your mind, is all you got to do, by name, and you will have them at about the waist. You'll have your hands on each side of their waist when you call them up. And all you got to do is repeat your name two or three times, and you'll feel them in your hands. You'll feel that ghost. Okay, you may fire when ready. Put your hands out. Call up whatever spirit you want. You want a dead relative that's been dead at least 10 years, and call them up, and you will have them just a minute or so. In the palms of your hands, you'll have them about at their waist. Now, once you've identified this person, because that's the only one you've called up, take a minute and read that person a little bit. They're not going to go anywhere. They can't go anywhere. They're right there. They cannot go anywhere till you turn them loose. And read them a little bit to make sure it's the right person. Of course, there's nobody else it can be, but if you read it, it's a practice in discernment. Now, at this stage, you could ask them 1,000 questions, but you'd have to let them tell you. If you read their spirit, you don't need to ask very many questions. You'll know the condition and everything else. Now, just move your hands out and let them go. Wipe your hands off. And that spirit will go back wherever it went. You don't have to do anything else. It's that easy to call up a spirit. The process is exactly the same for calling up a demon or an angel or a Nephilim or anybody else. Now, what I want all of you to do to make sure that you've got the right one, and this is going to sound complicated, but I'll show you how vast the power is. Once you get your hands clean, and you can, if you still got it, just take the tips of your one hand and pull it off the palms of your other and flick it off your fingers, but don't throw it into anybody. Just throw it somewhere, and it'll dissolve of its own accord. But you don't want to throw that into anybody, at least in this stage of the game. Everybody got their hands clean? Okay, now, put your hands out again. You're going to call up another spirit. It's pretty easy to do. Get them together. Get your hands out. And the spirit you're going to call up this time is alive, or at least at the moment. I want all of you to call up me. My God, that's pretty good. Now, if you read me a little bit, ooh, boy, you're going to find that I don't feel like anyone else in creation because I'm a neutral. I have a neutral spirit. That's why Luke can't read me. That's why I'm so damned unpredictable. They don't know what the hell I'm doing. They can't read me at all. The only thing you can read out of me is that I'm there. And the energies are either blank or so multiplex of scattered, you can't make head nor tails of it either way. Damn, that is really good. Somebody's got a good grip. Excellent. Okay, let me go. All right, come on. Okay.
Bobby, excuse me, I have a question. Are we recording tonight's session?
Yes.
Okay, I've got an excited Irving for some reason. He scared everybody out of his room, so I missed a few parts of this.
No problem. You've been through it before. We just had everybody pull me up instead of someone they knew. Okay, now that's how easy it is to pull up a spirit, living or dead. The only thing you could tell about mine is that I was alive. And that's enough for discernment. But you can locate anybody with practice. You're going to have to practice to be able to do it. Now, we're going to take one more step. I want you to feel a living Nephilim. And no, you're not going to be able to ask him any questions. If you got your hands clean for me, all of you have seen images of the falcon-headed god of Egypt. Actually, it's part of his helmet, and he could fly. He was a pilot when he was a Nephilim in Egypt. By the name of Horus, third horseman of the apocalypse. Okay, on my command, get your hands out. Get them out from yourself. Get them out a little bit. Okay. Now, just repeat in your mind, Lord Horus. That's all you need. Now, he doesn't feel like a dead human, does he? He doesn't feel like a live one either. He's got a difference about him. He's solid. Even though he's in a spirit manifestation, if you touch him, you know there's muscle there, plenty of it. And yes, he knows how to use it. But that is the feel of a Nephilim. They all feel that. They've got a little colder tinge to them, I guess you'd say. Okay, you can let Horace go back to whatever it was he was doing. Probably taking care of outer perimeter. Now, it's just that easy to pull someone up dead or alive, whether in heaven, hell, in projection, whatever. Doesn't matter. You can pull them up, and if you will read them, let that energy tell you, you will know the exact state of affairs, sir. Are there any questions? Okay, let's give it a slight recap. First thing, communications. Verify it every time. I don't care how familiar you think you are with that entity. I don't give a damn if it's your twin. If it's a spirit entity of any kind, discern it. Read it. Put it through the test. Do not accept it blindly or you are going to step in a bucket. And if you take that information and spew it anywhere else, it's on your head. It is too easy to do, not to do it every time.
Question, Bobby.
Yes.
Rosie, how is it that you, how is it that the demonic spirits don't know what tomorrow's headline is going to be? It seems as though if it's in the Akashic Records or something like that, that they should be able to read that.
Well, that's true. The problem with the demons is they don't like the Akashic Records. They've got a real problem with truth, haven't they? And once something has happened in the Akashic Records, it's immutable. But it's all the truth. They're very uncomfortable in the Akashic Records.
So we can say that that is a 100% accurate test that can't
Get me wrong. They'll feed you. One of the reasons that you discern them with each and every communications. I didn't say meet them once and accept their ass forever. Each and every communication. If you talk to a demon or an angel five times a day, you give them five different layers of discernment. Test them. Read them so you know who the hell they are. You read. Then when one fails, you know who that is because you read them well enough to recognize them again. But even if you recognize them, every time you recognize them and you get a communication, discern it again because these guys are very good at tricking you. Very good.
Bobby?
Yes?
This is Bill, sorry.
Yeah.
Are we not, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because guys, I'm sorry, I'm such a newcomer to this, but...
Quite all right.
Thing, and what I've learned on my own, which may be a mistake, which was without you guys, okay?
Okay, no problem.
That the demons will pollute the knowledge. But
if they can. Yes, if they can.
Yes.
They will. Yes, indeed.
Yes, they have the same access to the records and to the truth.
Right.
They pollute it to make you think it's different than what it actually is, right?
Yes. And a demon cannot handle the full truth. That's why it's a 99% for the work, one of a term. They've got to put something false in it because they can't stand the truth.
Right.
So he may give you not. He'll,
even if it was Lucifer himself, he could not tell you what the true headlines just for his purpose.
No. No, he can't.
He wouldn't be able to, right?
And now he may give you so much of it. He'll give you the 99, knowing that you only know 80 if you're dumb enough to accept it.
Okay.
So you drive him for 100%. You don't want a comma out of place. If you read the rules for prophecy, you not only had to bat 1,000, you had to have the details, and they had to be accurate and in order. When I did that thing at the Skyway Bridge, we had it all notarized a year before that bridge went down. All three strikes on it before that freighter hit the Skyway, and it did exactly what I said it was going to do. And I tried for a year to get them to put telemetry in so that kind of an accident would not happen. But those are the requirements. Exacting.
Question.
Yes.
With this thing like that happened in Japan, had you gotten some message about that and it happened, it would not have been demonic if it had happened. They would have said something that untrue. It seems to me that they should, to get you in your confidence, that they would tell you something like the earthquake in Japan.
That's right.
But they don't know that.
Right. Well, they may know that there's going to be an earthquake. And let's back up. Let's say you're March the 1st, and one of these guys wants to suck you in, and you're dumb enough to let them. They'll I'll give you as little information as possible. Okay? They would come and say, there's going to be a big earthquake in the Pacific on March the 11th. And try to get away with it. Okay? And you call them, I say, hold on, there's a big earthquake in the Pacific. Where in the Pacific? Well, then he's going to have to say, well, about 150 miles, 140, 150 miles off Japan. Okay, off Japan, which side? North, south, west, you know, come on. Nail him down a little more. Then they would have to tell you that it was off the northwestern coast of Japan. Well, that's a pretty good earthquake hot zone anyhow. It's been rumbling for thousands of years. So you could say, okay, how much damage? There's going to be a tsunami. Is there going to be a big hole in the ground or whatever? Any questions you would know how to ask. If it were a volcano, so which is there going to be a lahar, which is the mudslide of this that these volcanoes erupt with? Do you follow? So you keep nailing him on it. If it's a prophecy and it's legitimate, if there was a reason, I don't have to go into questioning them. That's my first clue that something's wrong. When I start asking questions and there are no more answers, I know somebody's full of shit. They're trying to deceive me about something. Now, they may be perfectly right for the time and the date, but that's not enough for me to follow them or believe them. Because if I go out and buy a big ad that there's going to be an earthquake March the 11th, it may be 45 years before the goddamn place even shakes. Because I don't have enough information unless I've discerned him real tight. Now, if the old man gives me one, he gave me one session, told me that Skyway would be hit by three different ships, one of them broadside. The third one that hit it would be broadside. And they would be just good scrape things. But then the one that would put the Skyway in the water, the details were simple. And that's the way I got it. A minute before he hit the bridge, he would be able to see it. A minute after he hit the bridge, he'd be able to see it. But in the squall in the middle where he hits the bridge, he wouldn't be able to see it. And what happened, this freighter was coming in, and it was up out of the water because it was empty. And they got into a squall coming into the channel. Well, these little squalls only last a few minutes, but boy, let me tell you, they carry a hell of a lot of rain. And he put his guys out on the points to tell him when they saw the boy. Well, there's a red boy that's on your right. But it was the guy on the left that saw the red boy and told him, because he was already out of the channel. And the red right returning boy was on the left side of the ship, and he called for power on the engines because he was in that squall he wanted to be able to control. And when he did, he took down the pillars and killed 35 people. But I had all of that in a documentation, all notarized, everything. And I think Dave Schiffel's wife is the one that disposed of it, because she was a hallelujah halfwit. Dave took me out to do a radio interview with Harry Cupp. And I told him I should get this back to Dave Lewis. And she got it, and it was never seen again. But nevertheless, that's what happened. The old man will give you the details.
Like the phony psychics about, because none of them, nobody came up with even saying that there would be an earthquake anywhere on March 11th.
Hell no. Not a one of them. And it was like that one on television, what was her name, Cleo or something? that was always laughing and smiling and all this bullshit, had her television commercials up about being a psychic and had these idiots all fooled. And then they walked in and arrested her. She should have seen that coming.
As a side note on Cleo, Bobby?
Yeah, was that her, Cleo? Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? She used to be a secretary at one of the bar prep companies.
Yeah. Well, it's that kind of stuff. Now, do we get prophecies that are accurate? Yes, we do. We get damn few. I don't have to prove them to anybody. The old man testifies of them, and that's good enough for me. Of all the proofs of anointing, I got the cream of the crop.
Okay, but can we question one thing?
Yes.
Okay. Bobby, I know you know who I am, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Murrah bombing here was the end of my career as a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible, all right?
Yep.
We have 9/11. We have March 11th. So what else is coming on the 11th now? Can anyone foresee what might be coming?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we can. I've had everybody, and we'll teach you how to do it.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably something that you and I might want to go through together alone, but...
Well, no, as a matter of fact, I taught everybody how to do it to send a body of light forward in time. We send them forward a minute at a time because you don't want to wait a week to find out for it to show up. You follow? Till you get it practiced. And then we're sending them forward into the time frame between the 1st of December and the 1st of April 2013. December 2012 through April 2013, and we're getting some information. It's a big hole. The remote viewers can't see anything in it. The computers are programmed out of it. Nobody can see anything in that damn thing, and it is a big spiritual black hole, for the want of a better term. But we are getting some depths and information out of it. For instance, we do know that there will be an extreme, and that word is 11 on a Richter scale and 40 feet high with lights, monetary crisis.
Yes.
We do know that one. We also know that in that same time frame, the Nephilim are going to be called in front of the Most High to give one of their routine accountings. If you've ever read the book of Job, it said the Most High called his sons before him to present themselves, and Satan, or Lucifer, however they translated it, was there among them. And that's when he set up the thing for the Job issue. Well, this is the same kind of an accounting. We do know that that's happening in that time frame, but we don't know what in the hell the Nephilim are going to be doing. We've got to get some heavier details and information on it. Because I trust the bastards about as far as I can kick an anvil. And in case you haven't heard from anyone else, there are no benevolent space brothers. They are all enemies. No exceptions.
Right. They all have a agenda.
Yes. That does not include your best interest.
Or existence.
Yeah, or existence either, if they can get away with it, that's for sure.
Question.
Yes.
When we do read things like the whole and the 2012 directives and things like that, those things are things that we're A, still learning how to do, B, practicing sending something forward in time.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not really involving from our own current understandings of it being spiritually provided by an entity of sorts.
No, this is your own spirit entity that you're sending there. That's why you got to let it tell you. But you'll know whether it's yours or not, or at least you should know whether it's yours or not. And that's why with a little bit of practice of doing the one-minute thing, I'll run everybody through that again if you want to know how to do it. I know Bill and Lisa haven't even heard of it, so that won't hurt them any.
Bobby, I mean, I know that I'm a newcomer here.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa's been here a little longer than I have. She's always been with you guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things that go through an individual such as myself are very difficult to accept.
Yes.
I'm trying to be kind of cryptic, but, you know, I don't know any of these people that are in this group. I know nothing. And, you know, this is, I mean, I'm talking to you guys tonight with two.
Yeah, but I think there's only two in the room, you and Coco, that haven't met me personally, that haven't had a beer with me. Everybody else has. And
we need to do that really badly.
Means you need to drive to Oklahoma, correct?
Yeah, we would like to do that as soon as my health and strength is up.
Yeah, wow.
But
there's some stuff going on here that's just, you know, with the 2012 prophecies and Nostradamus and all this other stuff, you know, I, like everybody else in the world, I guess, you know, I believe parts of it. I understand some of the stuff that I don't truly believe in, but there are still some things that are going on right now, okay, that coincide with everything that I've always been taught. And
Bobby,
yes.
Sorry, Bobby, can I answer this one?
I guess.
Okay. What you need to do is forget about what you were taught. This is a whole new thing. And a lot of the stuff that you've been taught by your grandmother, by your great-grandmother,
how'd you know,
are not
Chuck?
Real. Huh?
That's
what's
not
that?
Fair. You're not
what?
Supposed to know that stuff.
Hey, I know a lot of things. And
well,
a lot of things that, and a lot of things, the only thing that I learned from my grandmother was how to cook, okay, without a recipe.
Well, so
everything else that she told me or my mother told me, I questioned, and I was punished severely for it. I even questioned priests, rabbis, ministers, whatever the hell they want, even Reverend Ike.
Okay.
And those people,
you don't
want to
go there, okay? Because theory is the same as most people who've been in what I've been involved in, is kill them all and ask questions later, okay?
Yeah, we're on the same page, Bill. And one of the things that one of the things she'll get to is that in this outfit, we don't have any believers. We only have knowers. But we don't believe anything. The right thing to do is to find out if you don't know. Now,
Bobby, this is Lisa. I'm really glad that you said that. That puts it in even the words I've been trying to express all this time. You know, it's that everybody knows. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and once you go through the AED, and that's a hard book to read. I mean, it starts with an ass kicking and gets worse as it runs. You know, as a piece of comfortable literature, it's probably the worst book you've ever encountered on the first read. On the second one, it becomes a prized possession. And it has a, I guess you'd call it a somewhat magical character about it. We have some Combine copies that we printed up, and they're, hell, it takes a ream of paper to print one, but we take people, they'll stand them up on their back, and they'll have a question in their mind, and they'll just let the book open, and it'll open right to the answer that they want. It just does that. But once you get through it, and you get the testimony of the Most High, and this is where the fun begins. I'm not teaching a belief. I don't have a doctrine. The doctrine for our church, the Anointed of God Assembly, is one sentence: to be found worthy of candidacy for citizenship in the kingdom of God. That's it. Everything else that we have is holy law. You want to find out what our doctrine is? It's all in the first five books of the Bible mixed in with a bunch of history. There it is. We don't have any praise this and look at that and all this other horseshit. They're just totally absent. But when the Most High testifies, the proof of the anointing, we call it, or the great testimony, he testifies that each and every word, statement, and claim in that book is absolute, irrevocable, consistently verifiable truth. And he won't do that for the Bible. There are only nine books in the Bible that he will testify to the validity of. The first five, Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Leviticus. Those are the five that he will testify to start with. Only three of the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. That's it. The only book in the New Testament that he will testify of is Revelation. Nothing else. And the whole book of John is nothing but a damn Roman Empire forgery in the process of trying to become a church out of a government. So, if he won't
agree to that,
he won't testify to any more than that of the Bible, and not one word, nothing, in any of the five versions of the Quran.
No.
Nothing. Zero. Now, even though Muhammad was an anointed, but all his horseshit is, oh boy, we can get into that one for several hours.
Okay, yeah, we could, but I'm going to tell you something about that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I want you guys, I believe me, okay? Being where I was and who I am, okay? I've tried hard to understand these things, okay? But I understand that the Quran, and everybody has to say this is true, it speaks of peace, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it is a complete and total travesty and absolute destruction.
Yeah, that's all in it.
Word.
Yeah. No question about it.
But if you remember the old words, it's not peace on you, it's piss on you.
Yeah.
That's the way it ought to be written.
An eye for an eye.
That's exactly what Mons Mabley said.
Yeah.
Peace on you, piss on you.
As you were saying, Bill?
I have the most difficult time. Again, Charlone, thank you very much for bringing it up. But my grandmother is, she's been married for 72 years, lost my grandfather last year. And, you know, he was a preacher and all this, whatever, okay? But I have the most difficult time accepting the fact that I'm driven to pay individuals back in whatever form comes, okay, for what they've done.
Well,
and you, Bobby, you, and Shalom know now that I'm having to swallow lots and lots of things.
Yes.
Because I'm not.
That's fine. There's nothing in your attitude or thinking at the moment that's counter. Did you start to say, Gerald?
Yeah, Bill, this is Gerald. I've only been a PK for about 2 years now, and you are about to start on the most amazing journey that you can't even imagine. Just absorb it, and once you take the proof and you know, you don't have to believe a goddamn thing anymore.
Right.
Yep, once you get through the proof, that's it.
Well, talking about you with verification earlier, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have one malevolent spirit that approaches me on my own all the time, and that would be my great-grandfather. And he was 85 years old and could still lift, you know, two or three 80-pound sacks of concrete over his head with one arm.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the greatest man that ever walked the planet of this earth, other than Jesus Christ himself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, he was married to one woman for his entire life. He loved her like I love Lisa. I'm so happy to be in that situation where I feel like that again. I am being approached by things that I don't have any idea how to handle it, and I'm trying to figure it out.
Well,
Bill, can I answer this one a little bit?
Yes,
sir.
Bill, this is Shylon. One of the things is that we don't often take the time to figure out what we really know versus what we really believe. And when you stop and consider, how do you know what you know, and how come it works? And when you think about the differences of belief, the one piece of advice that could really serve you very well is never confuse belief and knowledge. Never. But now, some things on knowing are a little bit kind of fuzzy. Like, for example, are you still there? I heard somebody go out.
Oh, no, we're still here.
Oh, like, for example, Bill, if you think about it, how can you prove an itch? You know, just because I see you scratch doesn't mean that you have an itch, because you can scratch without having an itch. And just because you could see me scratch doesn't mean that that's proof to you that I have an itch, because I could do the same thing. But when you stop and think about it, having an itch is not something you personally know. You don't believe you have an itch. But you can't but doctors can't prove it, scientists can't prove it, that it exists. But when you have an itch, you don't believe you have an itch, you know you have one. So when you stop and think about what you're trying to differentiate, knowing versus believing, believing has one characteristic to it that is an absolute truth, is something is unknown. And if you don't know, you don't. It's okay not to know. But the one thing that will help you figure out that little accept or not accept quandary like you're in is get into a thing where you ask yourself, do I know this or do I believe it? And if you know it, then you do. And then that makes it really work. Because I know a few things about Lisa on that particular end. She knows these things are happening, and they behave much like something that can't be proved itch. Wouldn't that be about the same size of it, Lisa?
Lisa, she's talking to you.
No, I heard her. Yes, it very much would be.
You know that some of the things that you experience are very real, very accurate, very true, but you can't explain it. You can't prove it.
You do know over the years that there have been things that I have known. And again, I didn't understand it. But there it was. The knowledge was there. Remember, my question to you always was, why do I have to know this? What am I to do with this information?
Well, I understand what you're talking about. Why do I have to know this? Boy, I went through a ton of that myself. But it's because we need an understanding. See, the Most High wants us to be like He is. And there's a great test, a great piece of advice, was when Solomon was asked, the only thing he wanted, he prayed all night about something, talking to the bit, because he knew that the possibility existed that he was going to be the king in David's place. But he didn't know that he was going to be the anointed of that generation on David's death. And the thing that he asked for was understanding, so that he wouldn't make the kinds of mistakes that Saul had made, that his father had made, and especially in raising the other children. David's family, if you read the stories of David. That family was as dysfunctional as this bunch of clowns we've got ruling England. They would be hard pressed to find their ass with a road map, you know. But if you read that, and it was when Absalom was killed, and they finally admitted, you know, that they'd killed Absalom, that he had died in the fight, which was a civil war within the family. David said, "Where did I go wrong? What did, you know, where the fault is mine? Where did I go wrong in teaching my children or whatever?" Well, the question is not answered, but it is asked. And that's what we have to contend with the things that we know. And like Gerald said, this is a ride beyond comprehension. There's no way I can tell anybody what this ride of being a PK is all about, because it is so off the scale. It puts everything in your life in perspective, and it takes a while to adapt to it. And some of our race mix people that came in and got a soul in the process, adapting to a soul is another layer on that same piece of cake, and neither one of them are easy, but nobody would trade it. No way in the hell. Mm-mm. Because what we do works.
This is Kitty, and I'm the senior PK on the planet. 31 years this year I've had my seal. And I can attest to you that it is still a learning process. It is still as magnificent as what Gerald's talking about. It never gets old. It never gets dull. It just, as a matter of fact, it even gets bigger.
Yep.
The more you have it, the more you do it, the more you work it, the better it gets.
Hey, was that Coco?
I agree.
That's Kitty.
Kitty, I'm sorry. I apologize. We're new at this. I am, anyway.
That's all right.
Alice.
She's our senior pissed kid on the camp. Planet, when you hear her invoke.
You're proven nowhere on the planet. I've had my seal longer than anybody else. It's 31 years this year. Anybody else still alive?
Okay. I want to know something. I have a question, and I know that I'm the new guy on the block. I'm sorry, guys, okay?
That's no apology necessary.
But, Bobby, you know my situation, right?
Yep. I understand it
very well, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does an individual, when he's being called up, okay, and I'm hoping you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
To fix the mess. When you're betrayed by something that you truly believed in, okay?
Well,
and again, belief and knowing is two different things.
Right. Okay. But one thing that we learned in intelligence, and I won't go any farther than that for what we learned, but the one thing you learned was always to make your own way out. Listen to theirs. Use what logistics or what the hell ever you wanted out of it, but never trust it. Always make your own way out.
Okay. Well, when it's fair, but it's not, how do I put this? It's one of those things where you just can't, You can't physically reach out and touch it, because if you do, you're screwed.
Yep, I understand. But that's all right. We handle that too. When you make your own way out, it's a decision. And it's not a forced decision. That's why we're not out there on the sidewalks handing out cracks or grabbing arms or calling you up on the phone, inviting you down to our church for our version of horse shit, you know. That's why we don't do it. We recruit by example. We never tell anybody unless they ask the question. When they ask the question, then we give them the answer. Now, we don't give a damn whether they like it or not. Because a lot of the answers we have, we don't like either. But that doesn't change the fact that they're the truth. So
right.
we take these things as they come, And being a trained intelligence officer, too, you can imagine mine when I turned 16 in combat with an artillery outfit. And then got out, and I was so damn combat screwed up, I went back in the Air Force, thinking they'd send me to Europe instead of Korea. And they sent me within 30 feet of where I dug mud before. Right back in that same goddamn mess, but with a big difference. Big. That time there wasn't any war, but I was still getting shot at. I was in
the same.
Yeah.
Exactly what I've been put in. There was no war, but guess where I was put? I was put in the middle of a goddamn war.
Yeah. So we understand that. And yes, it's going to take a little while. It's going to take some time. But the truth comes out. And when you know the truth, you are not obligated to take it out and knock on somebody's door at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, you know, I know the truth there, Harm. You know, no, you're not required to do that. But you are required to know it for yourself and then live by it. So that when you get one of these turkeys that has sold you out, the only thing you owe him is justice. You do not owe him the truth. You do not owe him anything except justice. If you got to deceive him to stick it back in his ass and avenge the people that he hurt and was a part of hurting, so be it, because we're warriors.
Yes. Thank you very much.
We're not only right, and in this case, you know, if you look at the anointeds, the Most High sent every kind of a person you could think of. Look at them. Look at the prophets. Most of them were anointeds over the ages. But this time, now there was a lot of them involved in war and conquest and what have you, like Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun, who was the scourge of God. He killed everybody in sight. And especially the Roman Christians. But someone had to put a stop to them. But this time, in the seat of the anointed is a warrior. I have no other qualifications. So I speak war very well. And I understand what we've got to do. There's collateral damage. But there shouldn't be any war to start with. The warmongers, the profiteers, the cock Jews, the hallelujah halfwits get in on all these things. It's like the Crusades. They weren't about religion, they were about money. Go there and rape the city and take everything and bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Kuwait, Iraq, Iran.
Yep, my stepson and his first wife were hallelujah halfwits that went to this Christ for the Nation school somewhere down in Texas for a couple of years. They were sleeping in the back of Ford Pintos, bumming stale hamburgers to live on, playing music in all these hallelujah halfwit churches, you know. And I asked Evelyn one time, they came in, too broke to pay attention, took them a couple of days to get up. Of course, we got them fed and what have you. And she was showing me this magazine. Here was the head of this church in a Tel Aviv hotel.
Are we talking about Waco?
No.
No, it's in Fort Worth.
And
yeah, it's not in Fort Worth. It's in it's Duncanville.
Some damn place down there. Anyhow.
That's between Dallas and Fort Worth, but it's closer to Dallas.
But he was showing me this, or she was showing me this magazine. Very well done production. And on the front page is the chief of this Moduck outfit in the lobby of the Tel Aviv hotel talking to the premier of Israel. Well, of course, you know they were living high on the hog and what have you. And I said, what in the hell are you doing? And she said, we're taking Christ to the Holy Land. I said, God damn it, he was born there. And she didn't speak to me for over a year. Think about that. That's what. Now, these people are bleeding these kids, starving people, keeping all this bullshit in the black communities and the war zones. You go to take anything that happens in the war zone, any of it. Watch what's the first 48 where the police, they don't have any script or anything, and they're solving street murders and dopers and everything else. They take message to somebody that they're, that someone in her family or whatever's been killed, and the first thing, oh, blessed Jesus! How long they been hollering that? They're still standing in the same tub of shit their great-granddad stood in. And it hasn't improved a bit. Not a damn thing. So pray tell me, what is the problem there? Those people that perpetuate this are the problem.
Bobby?
Yes?
What perpetuated our problems in this world, and I apologize in advance for my words, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are niggers killing niggers, and then niggers get pissed off, and they kill whites. Is that true or false?
That's true. And we've got people that are in this organization living or listening to you right now that'll tell you that's the damn truth, and that's what they're trying to turn around. But yes,
well,
that's the truth.
I do not make anyone mad. But well,
you're not making anyone angry, because that's the damn truth.
Well, I'm just one of those people that's just a little bit, you know.
Well, we're not politically correct.
We go for understatements, Bobby.
Yeah, if it's politically correct to us, it's politically correct. And I don't give a damn where the chips fall. Well, if you read the AED, you find I've got just about as much use for a stupid redneck that is no improvement as I do a cock Jew or a street nigger. Shook together, they're not worth a pound of shit between them.
I agree.
And there's too many of them out there.
And there's too goddamn many of them out there. Now, being warriors, we know how to be harmless as doves. We know when to hold our fire. But that doesn't mean that we won't put it in our ass.
Well, maybe that's where my training and other issues come into it. It's a huge conflict, okay? Because, you know, I mean, I know that Oklahoma is not a huge thing for the world in tow, but, you know, the Murrah Building,
mm-hmm,
and Timothy McVeigh and all this shit, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I'll be honest, okay, guys, if I'd have been the highway patrolman that caught that fucker, I'd have shot him in the fucking head there. I wouldn't care.
Yep. But the thing is, McVeigh was a patsy.
Of course he was, but I still would have done it.
Oh, yeah. I would
have too. I have my problems in understanding what I'm supposed to do.
Well, that'll all come to you. Believe me. If you listen to our invocations, the names we name that we're sending to hell on our judgment, because it's the damn truth against them.
Yeah, and guess what's already started to happen, Bobby, from our last conversation on Sunday? Who's starting to slide downhill?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a rough ride. All of us have that one. Luke is not going to greet us with tea and cookies. That you can bank on.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
Because he knows he's going to lose. He's already losing. We have his ass in a crack, and he knows it, and we're not going to let up.
Not at all.
Everyone on this call right now agrees with you. And we know it's going to take your time. We've been there, all of us. No exceptions. We also know that it's going to be a rough road in a lot of places. It's going to be hard for you to do. We've been there, too. That will not keep us from doing it. It won't keep you from doing it. And it won't keep us from being there in your circle as she goes.
Well, I'm just a soldier, guys, okay?
That's fine. So am I. That's the game. Now.
And you will be, we'll try you.
He'll be trash.
So make sure of that. But
something that I wasn't ready for. I was not ready for the trials. Luke testing me at every turn. Every turn.
In a bunch of different kind of ways.
Oh, yeah, he won't let up until you knock the piss out of him.
But I just, for the sake of everything, watch out for the accidents, the near misses, the if you're not paying absolute attention, something, you know, a car wreck. Somebody will run a red light when you've clearly got the right-of-way. Somebody will come along 30 seconds after the light changed and plow you right over. They're running through 50 an hour.
Well, you,
let me just...
As a warrior, you know you got to have your head about you all the time. You got to know not only what's in front of you on each side, you got to know what's behind you. And you damn well better be aware of it.
And you better look up ahead, too. I worked in a warehouse, and there was a box drop, a conveyor belt, that was over 30 feet high. It's a 50-pound box, and it missed me by a half an inch. I felt the wind, and it grazed my arm. And for some reason, I had just sidestepped. Otherwise, it would have hit me square in the head. I'd have been a dead one. And that was 30 years ago.
Well, we had two limbs fall off the creek here in my yard. One missed the girls by, what was it, Shiloh? You girls had just got up and started into the house when it took the porch down, right?
Oh, God, it was, Diane, what was it? 3 seconds?
For what, how long it took the bus to fall?
Yeah, how close it missed us the first time.
Oh, that was worse than that.
And then the next one.
And then the second time it got Diane.
If Shiloh had been in the other chair where she normally would have been, would have taken her out of there in pieces. Off a tree that we had surfaced. We had it surfaced to get rid of the stuff we thought was going to fall. Everything about it. There's no way you could have predicted that thing. So Luke is after you. Make no mistake. But this is where you can put the hammer to him. You know he's there. And that one doesn't give him any advantage. That puts him at a disadvantage. You get a C on your forehead, and he'll just go screaming. Because that's the one thing he can't handle. Because the deal was, he had to turn all men to him in that 2,520 years. And as long as there's one Akurian, and he's out of time. By the way, that was up in 2005. He lost, and he's still mad. So that's what he's doing. He's doing everything he can. And you cannot surrender to him.
Bobby, this is Lisa.
Yes, honey.
I have a question. Of all the years that I've known you, you have said that ring my phone 24/7. You didn't give a damn, right?
Right.
When this is over, is it feasible that Bill can have a private conversation with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Bobby, I want to tell you something that happened last week, okay?
Okay.
We were in dire straits. There were some really, really evil things going on. All right, your invocation came through.
Immediately.
The next day.
Well, I'm glad of that. All of us want them.
Well, and another thing is what you guys were talking about, an individual who knows or who cares or who concentrates on things. Last night we had an incident here, okay, involved some evil, and without any, forcing it to get out. Okay, it left.
Well, all you have to do, since you're under our authority, or any PK's authority, and it doesn't matter which one, you can run up and down the plains of heaven, the depths of hell, anything else. We'll teach you how to do that. And you tell Luke or anybody else, somebody, you feel an energy around, pull the son of a bitch up. I just taught you how to pull a spirit. Pull him up. Find out who the hell it is.
Right.
And if you just sense him, tell him get the hell out, because he can't be there unless you invited him. But when you tell him to get the hell out, the invitation is over. Okay?
Right.
Now, let me...
Which is what I was trying to describe to
yeah.
you. Last night, that temptation came in, and I kicked its ass. Okay? It's gone.
Yep. And you'll get them again. They'll try you again. That's normal. But there's a fly in the ointment with them. There's one fly in the ointment with them. And this is the part that most people don't get a handle on. The best example, well, you've heard us talk about Dave Lewis. Dave Lewis was living in an apartment that was owned by some of the most idiotic and dysfunctional people I think I'd ever seen. The whole family was. All the boys were gay. The one girl was just a complete idiot. I don't know what in the hell you'd have called her in prime time. And, of course, the house was haunted. They rented it to a bunch of practicing witches and what have you. And you might know Dave would walk right into that. And I let some of them go over and try to throw him out of Dave's apartment with spooks. Well, he was, boy, he was just having hell. They were on him like ugly on apes. And the more they did their little thing, they went over with their Jesus this and their exorcism that and their white light and all this puppy do. And finally, the demons throw Dave out of his own house. He had to get the hell out. He couldn't even walk around in his own house. They put him down to the count. And so I asked him, I said, well, now, if you're through with all these idiots, I'll show you how to exorcise a spook. Well, the house must have had 15 or 20 between demons and dead family members that were haunting the place and everything else. At least that.
But spooks, Bobby, because I'm a spook too.
Yeah. And in the process, I took some of the troops and went over. I just wanted them to see it. I didn't need any of them. And I walked into the living room, and here was the one that had really put it in Dave's ass and twisted it. And you could sense them. You could feel them there, but I could see him. And I said, you, get the fuck out. Well, that's not the way you take these spirits and demons. It's supposed to be all religious and hallelujah this and Jesus the other and all that bullshit. Well, not really. You tell them, get the hell out. You make damn sure they go. That's the game. And it just absolutely floored everybody. Then I told the chief, he came down to see what in the hell was going on. I said, that's right, look at that crest in the middle of my helmet. That's exactly who I am. Now you get your ass out of here and you take the rest of them with you and don't come back. If you do, it'll be the last trip you make. Well, the girl played piano. And even in spook, she played piano in the middle of the night, sometimes in the afternoon. And she played very well, played very beautiful music. And she asked if she could stay and play music, but she wasn't bothering anybody. Do you follow? So I let her stay. But it absolutely blew their mind that instead of the white light and expiritum horse shit and all the rest of it, I said, get the fuck out. Well, that's the way a Koreans do it. They get in your way, tell them get the hell out. And you won't have to tell them but once, and they'll go. They will leave. Because they know the penalty if they don't, and they don't want that penalty. So that penalty
that's
is a hell of a lot.
That's very true. Sorry, Bobby.
Yeah, that penalty is a hell of a sight worse on them than anything they can do to you.
Bill, this is Shiloh. The first time that I noticed one, I was still a baby proven knower. I don't think I had even been one for 2 months. And I detected a spirit in the house. And I said, see that seal in my forehead? If you don't leave, I'm going to tell Bobby on you. And it left.
I remember you telling me that. I have a question. This is Lisa.
Yes, honey.
I think I shared this with Shiloh last year. You know, I had an old desk that sat in my living room in Texas. And I took a, I had a portrait of my boys, my three wonderful boys, up above this desk. And all I can tell you is that when I took a picture of the living room, the desk appeared, and I was horrified what appeared in the picture. In so much that I tried to send it across the internet. I tried to send it to my sister. It was very evil looking. It was, I want to describe it as some type of a shadow. And I almost took it like, you know, you need to pay attention, you need to wake up, you need to do something because I'm going to take over if you don't. What the hell was that?
I have no idea, honey. But that's not unusual. Sometimes the powers that be keep us from sending photographs and emails and everything else. But that doesn't mean that a Nephilim can't do it. And a Nephilim will do it if they can. They catch you. They got something that they don't want you to think about. Because the Nephilim, the original watchers of the Bible, if you must, are as big a bunch of assholes as was ever brought into existence. And the only good one, as far as I'm concerned, is Horus. Because he doesn't have any use for the way the bastards did mankind, the Anasazi. But they still have a lot of equipment floating around this planet. They have a base on the moon, a couple of three of them, actually. They have a...
Horus by Ra, and Ra was not good, right?
Huh?
Horus was worshipped by Ra.
Recognized more than worshipped.
Okay.
The Ra, Amun Ra, or Amun Ra, as it became later, was actually Marduk, son of Enki. And Horus was born of Isis and Osiris after Osiris was dead.
Right. And I apologize because I interrupted Lisa and she had something important to say, so yeah. I apologize.
Yeah, but Horus is the third horseman of Apocalypse.
Yes.
And he's a horseman first. And if you think he doesn't kick their ass, you ought to see him sometimes.
No, he does.
I wanted to clarify one thing that I think you would know about this. I think we've all experienced it. I just need to understand it a little more. In regard to trying to send communication off to people across the internet, is it fair to say we're blocked from doing that? All kinds of crazy can happen at that point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The hackers who are either on Bill Gates' payroll or ours with the government, you know, because nobody else, who in the hell sits around and writes up a program that doesn't do anything but screw up very complex programs? Only those that get paid to cure those screw-ups. We call it CAC engineering, where they create a problem so you can pay them to fix it for you. The first time I brought that out of the woodwork, none too gently, they nailed a few of them. because they were writing the viruses that they were selling programs to fight.
Right.
And they got caught. We put it in their ass.
There's a lot of that.
Yep. And we put it in their ass and did a number on them. Okay, any questions? All right. Now remember, chain of command, the angels, the old man, nobody is going to run you down to tell you anything. There's a chain of command for that. And it's in holy law. And I don't know which one of the prophets, is that in the book of Amos, Shiloh?
Yes, it is.
Chain of command?
Huh?
Well, surely the Most High will not do anything without telling his anointed.
See, the rest of the prophets are pretty much true. They've just been altered to the point that their original transcripts, or what's left of them, are not accurate. And that's what the old man's got a case of the ass about, and why he won't testify to them, because they're not wholly the truth. And what they're about, the method isn't there, so to speak. So that's where you are with the main side of the world. Hey, are there any other questions about how to do a spirit, how not to?
No, Bobby, I just need to apologize. For some reason, I don't know why this girl is acting up tonight. I think I finally put her back.
Oh, she just being a cat.
Okay.
Her number again, please.
They're like children. You take care of them first.
Yes, I did. I had her out for a while, and she ate something and put her back, and I think she's calmed down. I don't hear anything, but when she was acting up, everybody ran out of that room.
Oh, they do that too. Yeah. Okay, any questions? If you need to call me, if you need to call me privately, do that. Everybody has my number.
I have a question. Do we want to do the truth invocation this evening?
Well, you can. I'm a little bit burnt for invocation strength.
I don't want to, but I have a question that's totally unrelated to any of tonight's subject. It's more of a question wrapped up in an alarm and kind of a baked in a notice that something dropped upon me this afternoon when the son-in-law, my brother's stepson-in-law, came to fix my hot water heater. We got talking politics a little bit, and he's a 25-year-old redneck with barely a lick of sense. Best mechanic you could know, but totally oblivious to what goes on in the world. Well, he popped off today and said that he absolutely loved Donald Trump, and that it was going to be the first and only time that he ever voted was that if Donald Trump gets on the ballot, he's going to go out and vote for Donald Trump. Okay, we've been invoking against Donald Trump, and he's got some good things to say, and then again, you know, he's a snake in the grass. I don't trust him a damn bit, but this redneck reality show mentality, I'm wondering if there's we need to either put a stop to it or inflate it or something like that, because if he's thinking it, there's 99 out of 100 just like him that are thinking the same thing.
Kitty, this is Pete. Bear in mind too that the nomination process is not a straight election process, and each state has a set of very complicated rules that Donald Trump, while he may have the fame and the notoriety, may not still take sufficient delegates in the nomination process.
Yeah, so he's a long way from being the candidate.
That just that because I had not even considered him as a really a viable candidate.
But I'm, you know, and maybe just here in Texas, maybe here in Dallas, but, you know, I live amongst rednecks, I have a whole new take on what that's like lately, and this kid qualifies, and it's just, you know, I saw a big, huge red flag come up that, oh, he's going to vote for Donald Trump.
Well, Trump will impact. Make no mistake, but I, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean he wins the nomination.
Yeah.
Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't at this point mean that he might not have the momentum to do that either.
Well, that's why we have Donald Trump's in the ass kick pile. Let him spend $1 billion forcing Obama to bring out the birth certificate. Doesn't mean I'm gonna trust him.
Well, that was my point, too.
Yeah.
That, you know, let him take down Obama, but politicians, well, I don't know.
Yeah,
well,
and again,
I didn't change the kid's mind at all. Well, if he gets up there, I'm going to go vote for the first time.
Yeah, well, we'll wake him up in the process. Okay, it's been 2 hours. Do we have any questions discerning spirits, spirit communications, or the chain of command for these people? Okay, if we don't have any questions, we'll get this thing signed off because I know some of you want to call and talk to me privately. So we will get to that. And we can start signing out.
Okay,
Kitty out.
Kitty out.
Bye, Shalom.
Good night.
Bye, you both. Thanks for coming in.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. And that Ernie? Is that you? Yeah. Thanks, Ernie.
All right, Ernie out.
Beat out.
Thanks, honey.
Coco out.
Good night, honey.
Thanks, Coco. And good to see you again.
I'm out. Diane.
Thanks, Diane.
Denny, you out?
Gerald, are you still there?
No, Diane just checked out.
Bobby, and I need to call you right back.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, bye.